This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. This past week, my family and I had the opportunity to go on vacation, and one of the things that we did was go to this adventure fun park. It was a place that had batting cages, arcades, bouncy houses, and even go-karts. And both my two sons really wanted to go on the go-karts, but they were not tall enough to ride the go-karts by themselves. And so my wife stayed with our baby, and one by one, I took my two sons for a ride on the go-kart. And I went first with my youngest son, and when we went on, we were there early, so there was no other racers on the track. And we went out for a nice leisurely drive. We drove around the track, and each time we came by my wife, my older son, and our baby, we waved, and they would wave back to us. And we did this about 4 or 5 times. And so I got my son off, and then it came time to take my older son on the go-kart. And this time, there were a lot more people getting in the go-karts. Now, the thing that you should know about me is that sometimes I can be kind of a competitive person. And sometimes I am competitive about things that don't really matter very much, like cards or sports on TV, or in this case, go-karts. You see, we all in this next race were lined up and we took off, and I found myself immediately in second place. And the person in front of me was a kid, probably about 10 years old, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm not gonna try to pass this kid. I'm just gonna stay in second place and I'm gonna enjoy the ride. But as I was doing this, I began to sense that another person, an adult, kept coming up to the side of me and was trying to pass me. And I thought to myself, you know what? I am not going to pass a kid, but I am most certainly not gonna let someone else pass me. And so the rest of the race, I was very focused. I was very determined not to give up my second place status. And around we went. And a few times this other person tried to pass me, but I was proud to say that as we pulled off the racetrack, they did not pass me, and I maintained my second place status. Well, as I was getting off the go-kart and feeling very proud of myself, I went up to my other son who had gone on the go-kart with me, and I looked at him, and he looked very sad and disappointed. And I asked him what was wrong, and he said to me, "Dad, each time that you drove by, I was waving at you, and you didn't wave back to me." You see, I was so focused on keeping my place in this silly race that I didn't notice that each time I passed by my son, he was waving at me, trying to get my attention. And because of my misplaced focus, I didn't even notice or wave back. And it was then that I had a quote go through my mind that I've thought of many times in my life, and maybe you've heard it as well. Keep the main thing the main thing. Meaning that whatever is the main thing in your life, whatever is of utmost importance, keep that at the center of your attention and let everything else fall away. And that's what I should have done in this situation, but didn't do. And that's what our scripture reading, I think, today is all about. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Ruth, and it's about a woman. You guessed it, her name was Ruth. And the book of Ruth actually doesn't start with Ruth. It starts with a woman named Naomi and her husband Elimelech. And they lived in Israel, but at this time in their life, there was a great famine. And so Naomi and Elimelech moved with their sons from Israel to a country called Moab. And in Moab, they were able to raise their children. And when their children got old enough, their two sons got married to two women. One of them was named Orpah, and one of them was named Ruth. And what happened is when they were in this country of Moab, that Naomi's husband Elimelech died. And not only that, Naomi's two sons who were married to Orpah and Ruth died as well. And so all that was left was Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. Now, at any point in history, this would be a very tragic and sad situation, but this was especially tragic and sad understanding ancient culture and women's inability to provide for themselves. You see, back in ancient Israel, women's entire security and livelihood were tied up first in their fathers and then their husbands. That they didn't go to school and that they didn't learn a trade, that all of their provisions came from first their fathers and then their husbands. And if they grew up and their husbands died, then hopefully their parents were still alive and they can move back in with them. But if in the situation that happens today where they had no sons and no husbands left, all of their security was gone. And so Naomi decides to go back from Moab to Israel, go back to the country that she was born and raised in, because maybe she can find some extended family to stay with and take care of her. But in our scripture reading today, as she's getting ready to go back to Israel, she tells her daughters-in-law, Naomi tells her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, to go back to their hometown, to stay in Moab, to not go with her to Israel. Because you see, in this time as well, there was not a lot of mixing of people from different countries, and the prospects of them finding new husbands and in turn new economic security looked very, very bleak. And after much pleading and much persistence, Naomi's one daughter-in-law, Orpah, decides to go back to Moab. But Ruth says to her mother-in-law something very important. She says, I will never leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people. Your God will be my God. You see, Ruth is loyal and dedicated to her mother-in-law. Ruth had the ability to keep the main thing as the main thing. Naomi said, go to the place where you might have better security, where you might have better relationships, where you might have better financial prospects. Don't come with me. I can't do anything or provide anything for you. But Ruth understood that the most important thing in her life was not the relationship to security, was not the relationship to financial status, but the most important thing was her relationship to the one person, the one family member she still had left in life, her mother-in-law, Naomi. You see, the story of Ruth is a symbolic story of God's faithfulness to us, that wherever we go, God will go as well, that God is our God on good days and bad days, that God is our God in good seasons and bad seasons. And the best thing for us to do is to stay loyal, not to the things of this world, not to security, not to the promise of wealth and recognition, but by keeping the main thing, it means for us as Christians staying rooted and truthful to God's word. I'm reminded by the words of Jesus where he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, it's easy in certain days of our life when things are growing great, when things are smooth, when we're enjoying life, when things are going according to our plan and everything is turning out well. It's easy to say we believe. It's easy to say we have faith. But where we really need faith, where we really need the truth to make us free, is in those days, in those situations where life is confusing, where we don't know what to turn, where we don't know where to go. That's when we must trust and hold on to God's truth. You see, faith looks more like a lifeboat on some days. It's the thing that we go to when everything else behind us is crashing down. It's the thing that we turn to that will sustain us. It may not be fancy, it may not be, you know, full of glimmer, but it is something that will give us hope and will strengthen us for the days ahead. I'm reminded by a story recently of a man who did something called cave diving. And I heard this interview of this person who did cave diving, and if you're wondering what it is, it's as crazy as it sounds. You see, cave diving was something this man did with another person, and it's literally where you go scuba diving underwater, and you go and you swim in underwater caves. You go through different twists and turns all underwater in caves. And there is literally no light because, again, you're underwater in a cave. The only light that you have is the light on your pack. And he said that they were going through and everything was going well. And his partner, the person he was swimming with, got tangled up in one of his cords. And he immediately began to panic. And when he began to panic, he began to thrash his arms. And on the bottom of this cave, in this small area, there was silt, dust that had settled. And in his panic, he kicked up all of this dust to the point where neither of them could see. Well, the person that kicked up all this dust, he immediately got out of the cave, but the person who told this story was still in the cave. And so now here he was running out of air. He was not able to see his hand in front of his face because, again, this dirt and this silt was floating around, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know which way was right, which way was left, which way was up, which way was down. And he began to panic. He began to get antsy because, again, he was slowly running out of air. But then he remembered on his way into this cave, he found a crack in the cave. And he began to follow that crack all the way out of the cave. And very slowly, as he kept going and going through the dark, following this crack, very slowly he began to see a little bit of light, then more light, then more light. And then he got out of the cave and he was able to go to the surface of the ocean. And he was free, and he survived. I share that story with you because in life, the word of God is like a crack in the cave. Sometimes because of our circumstances, sometimes because of our troubles, sometimes because of the things that are going on in this world, it seems like we don't know which way is right or left or up or down. But if we continue in God's word, as Jesus has said, we will know the truth. And the truth will make us free. Listen to the scripture reading from the book of Proverbs. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." The best decision that we can make each and every day is the decision of submission. The decision to submit our lives and our decisions to the will and care and the word of God. And if we will do that, he will make our path straight in a rocky world. He will guide us through even the most difficult circumstances until we know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You see, Ruth was able to see the forest through the trees. In the midst of a time when it felt like her and Naomi had lost all hope, that there was nowhere to turn to or nowhere to go, Ruth turned to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law turned to Hugh. Do you know that when you are filled with trouble, when you are filled with anguish and doubt and despair, God turns to you. God turns to you as he turned to Ruth, and you can turn to God. You can turn to God and trust God that if you continue in his word, in his way, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to be bearers of your word. Help us hold fast not to what we know, but what you know. Help us study your word and meditate on it day and night, so that we may apply the biblical principles you have given us to our daily life. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.